Consistently, our holy literature, I think, points us beyond our individual selves, our individual life histories, to identification with that which is larger than us, like God's self, and the well-being of others, long after we have left the scene. Our lives are to be lived not only in the moment, but to participate in what the philosopher Alfred North Whitehead describes as objective immortality. Objective immortality. The impact of our lives on the future world and in God's ever-expanding memory, we're participating in that all of the time. So we're called to let go, if you will, kind of our small egos, and its interests awaken us to the grandeur of the universe. Surpassing self-interest is the gateway to peace and to adventure in companionship with God. Our holy literature challenges us consistently to move from individual and national self-interest to global loyalty. I have been to the mountaintop. I have seen the promised land. These words proclaimed by Martin Luther King could easily echo Moses' sentiments, if you've read that Exodus scripture reading that was part of our lectionary this morning, as he looked towards Cana. He had shepherded the emerging nation for the last 40 years in the wilderness. He brought them from no people to the verge of their new homeland, but he's unable to set foot on the ground that inspired his dreams. And then centuries later, Martin Luther was asked, if the world was to end tomorrow, what would you do? He responded, many of you know this, I would plant a tree. All of us are involved in creating the future by our actions today. We may never enjoy to see the fruits of our actions, right? But still, we claim our ability to shape the future. And that is the point. Hope enables us to trust that God will use our finite lives as contributors to an everlasting adventure. On the day after his mountaintop speech, King was gunned down in Memphis. Yet this Mahatma, this great soul, still lives on, inspiring us to justice and encouraging us to commit ourselves to a transformed America. This morning, we are challenged beyond instant gratification and self-interest, I hope. They remind us that our lives share in God's immortality. What we do truly matters and shapes a future we may never see. That is the spirit of Reformation Sunday, celebrated in churches like ours today all over the globe. The saints of the past have let go of their small self and in its short time span to embrace values beyond the self. We let go of self-interest to embrace the well-being of future generations. We do something beautiful for God that will outlast our small projects and even our lifetimes. That's my hope. And in that same Reformation spirit, we must run. We must run to stay up with the wonder and radical changes that are transforming our society during our days. Martin Luther brought together into form and function a breakaway. This was a breakaway movement from the Roman Catholic Church and many of the doctrines that just saturated Christianity, personally, politically, institutionally. His was a religious, spiritual movement. I thought about Luther this week, and then I thought about, as I drove a couple years ago across northern central Germany, the Autobahn was, I was doing 130. It was wonderful. And I was cutting through this picturesque valley, and on either side there were these rising rock formations, and on either side that you looked, there was a castle and then there was an opposing castle, and in this castle there was a Catholic flag, and on this castle there was still a Lutheran flag. I went further down the road and ran into divisions of another era still prominently in place, a rest area where the watchtowers of East and West Germany still stood, still stand today. And I went to the actual line between them, and I did this, back and forth, you know, without really, I think, a sense of what that cost people in their real lives at the time that they could not do that. It's difficult to stay up with the pace of change. The fabric of our society is being tested in well-worn places, resulting in major movements forward, along with political backlashes such as with the alt-right white nationalism movements, social movements that many of us have stood in front of, in the midst of, are today nearly flash mob realities. It's wonderful. After all those years in the closet, we have marriage equality and a recognition of the realities of the wide, wide diversity that exists in all of humanity on the sexuality-gender continuum, that today we struggle to have enough letters to describe it, LGBTQPAI plus. It's wonderful. What a wonderful time, really, for us to be alive, and so scary for so many who do not want to know how diverse life really is. 2 years ago, an unarmed black man who was running rather slowly was gunned down by a police officer. He was shot in the back, killed, left in the stifling Ferguson, Missouri heat in a way that is reminiscent of the days of teaching slaves a lesson, saying this too could happen easily to you if you try to escape. And out of that, the Black Lives Matter movement sprung to life via social media in a firestorm that has not stopped burning in our souls, as each of us who are white are daily being asked to remember that we are guilty of still perpetuating personal and systemic racisms. The battle continues, but what a new day. However ugly it might seem to be, a new day of dawning hope is emerging when we are closer to recognizing that race is made up. It is a social construct that is being used to control and manipulate men and women who are no different in any essence at all from each other. Color diversity is a God-endowed beauty meant to enhance life, and it has too long been used to bully others into unnatural submission. And then suddenly, about 3 weeks ago, yet another movement seemingly burst upon the scene as some, 60-plus women have come together to share the ugly and painful, torturous stories of being seriously sexually assaulted and abused by a Hollywood mogul. I trust no one was surprised by the reality of women being abused in any industry or in any place. What has been, while painful, really painful, right? To read and to listen and to watch is the hashtag MeToo social movement. Women from around, not the flat globe, but the round globe, via social media, are stepping forward to say, me too, it's happened to me too. As hideous stories surface, churned up by the sweeping winds of courage and solidarity, the ugly truth continues to emerge from the mystical veneer of social acceptability. With power imbalances that are ignored and gender expectations that stifle and silence, both men and women come forth with even telling us of greater forms of violence and dehumanization. It's becoming increasingly clear how seeds of patriarchy culminate in expressions of power and exploitation that consistently devalue women and men, not to mention the harm they cause to those who refuse to conform to prescribed gender roles. But where there is truth, this is my hope, where there is truth, even ugly truth, there is hope. The ugly truth is a necessary stage, sadly, on a journey to a deeper and far more beautiful truth. Only when we awaken to the depth and the breadth and the pervasiveness of the harm of patriarchy, hierarchy, elevating masculine over feminine and rewarding aggression and dominance in men while reinforcing expectations of submission and subservience in women, only when we finally see how pernicious and far-reaching and devastating this is, can we begin to see the cracks in the system. And from that knowledge of those cracks and what's behind them, we can move finally from the ugly realities of dehumanization to a more beautiful truth of recognizing and allowing and rejoicing in the fullness of humanity, more rich and wondrous than we could have ever imagined. So I find hope in the sheer magnitude of women and also some men coming forward to testify to the fact of their harassment and abuse. Now I understand, to the degree I can understand, both the arguments for and against men participating in the hashtag MeToo movement. I believe that toxic masculinity and gender roles harm men as well as women, though the harm is more pervasive for women. The everyday precautions that women take to minimize their potential for abuse are not things that most men consider on a regular basis, which is just one reason violence against women in particular must be given specific attention. Although less frequent, it's also true that women can abuse men. Although I believe this is another evil of our hyper-sexualized and patriarchal culture. Thus, men who have stories should share them, while also listening to and recognizing that there are problems in a patriarchal culture that are unique to women. Silencing anyone's story reinforces the patriarchy that just needs smashing. And raising awareness is not enough. But it is the only way perhaps that we can start. With so many people coming forward, exposing the wounds of patriarchy, I'm seeing light bulbs go on in many of my male friends. Men are stepping up today to participate in the hashtag How Will I Change campaign, which I hope will be a lifelong commitment for struggling against social conditions that encourage all those toxic forms of masculinity, including the devaluation and objectification of women, and the will to impose power over and against rather than with and for. I believe that the hashtag MeToo campaign is exposing a toxic element of our culture and our human condition, and thus has the potential to lead us from an ugly truth into a more beautiful reality. I believe that the survival of humanity depends upon exposing that rotten foundation of patriarchy, which means recognizing that our full humanity is found in our interconnection and interdependence with each other. As I read the hashtags and become overwhelmed with the pervasiveness of patriarchal violence, I also imagine how easily Me Too could expose the harms of racism, of gun violence, of endless war. I imagine us coming into an awareness of our violence as survivors speak out, and a wave of recognition of humanity washing over all of us, washing away our justifications for setting ourselves over and against one another in so many places in our society and world. I imagine all the world joining in empathy and repentance from our violence. Together, we can uproot the lie of dehumanization and rebuild our world on a foundation of truth that is in compassion and communion with each other. In our scripture reading this morning, this is, I'm just practically done, Jesus' response to the Jewish teachers reveals the dynamic symbiosis of loving God, others, and self. These things cannot really be separated. Loving God is world affirmation, or it's not loving God. When we love God, all of our other loves are finally rightly ordered. Loving God turns us toward our neighbor and his or her physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It also turns us toward the non-human world, so beloved by God. Loving our neighbor brings beauty to God's experience of the world in a very real way. We love the Creator by loving the creatures. In Luther's language, Martin Luther, our opening to God's grace enables this grace to flow to our neighbor, for us to become those little Christs committed to the well-being of neighbors and strangers. And finally, seriously, finally, authentic and healthy self-love gives us energy for the long haul, and that's what we need today. If we do not love ourselves, that is, feel at home in our skin and affirm our very existence in its uniquenesses, our behaviors will often be motivated by the need to be loved rather than bringing joy to ourselves and others. We are called to love ourselves as much as God loves us. Ponder that one. We are called to love ourselves as much as God loves us, and to love others with the same spirit that God loves them. Jesus would feel quite comfortable, I think, with Rabbi Hillel's wise statement, and I quote, "If I am not for myself, who will be for me? If I am only for myself, what am I? If not now, when?" End quote. True love expands self-interest. It invests in futures we will never experience and love children we will never meet, whether in other lands or future generations. The love that takes us beyond ourselves and invests in God's visions, that's what gives me a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that can never be threatened by loss, aging, or death.